Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hi again, everybody. Marijuana is in the news today, both in New York and New Jersey. In New York, the city comptroller and Democratic mayoral hopeful John Liu has proposed to legalize medical and recreational use of pot. The recreational law would allow possession of up to an ounce. As comptroller, Liu also says legal weed would bring in hundreds of millions of tax dollars to city coffers. We'll hear a clip of Liu making his case in a little while, and we'll take calls on that second. In New Jersey, today is the day that Governor Christie has promised to announce whether he will sign a bill that would make it easier for medical marijuana to be prescribed for children. The legislature has passed that bill, and the governor has been undecided. Did you see the video of that New Jersey dad confronting the governor about that? This week, we'll play that clip in just a minute. So we will do two separate call-ins on this issue. And let's begin with the medical marijuana. If you have ever used medical marijuana, please call up and tell everybody what your illness is or was and how marijuana has helped. 212-433-WNYC. Or even if you found it ineffective, call up and tell us that. 212-433-9692. Let's call it a crowdsourced drug trial. Has medical marijuana worked for whatever ailed you? 212-433-WNYC. And to the point of the decision that Governor Christie has to make today, have you ever given marijuana to a child for medicinal use? 212-433-9692. Now, obviously, that's much more rare, so I don't know if we'll get any calls, but let us know if you have. Or if you've ever used it medically for yourself, 212-433-9692. Or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Now, while your calls are coming in, here's that exchange this week between a New Jersey dad named Brian Wilson. This is not the Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys, by the way, or the Brian Wilson from the Dodgers. This is New Jersey dad Brian Wilson, whose two-year-old daughter Vivian has this intense form of epilepsy that apparently some doctors believe can be eased by ingesting, not smoking, ingesting marijuana. But right now it's hard to get that prescription in New Jersey because of her age, despite the medical marijuana program that the state does have. So weigh in on this issue if you want, but also call with your experiences at whatever age you are, or your children are, of using marijuana for medical purposes. Did it help you medically? And if so, how? 212-433-WNYC. And here's the exchange this week. This is a little off mic, so you'll have to listen carefully, but you'll hear this New Jersey dad, Brian Wilson, and how he presses Governor Christie, who replies to him.
I was wondering what the holdup is. It's been like 2 months now, or a month and a half. It's very well documented.
These are complicated issues.
It's a very simple issue.
No, I know you think it's simple.
It is. We've had experts come.
I know you think it's simple, and it's not.
We've had our experts reach out to you. Have you heard from our doctors?
I have read everything that's been put in front of me. I'll have a decision by Friday. I wish for the best for you, your daughter, and your family, and I'm going to do what I think is best for the people of the state.
Please don't let my daughter die, Governor.
Please don't let my daughter die, Governor. And that turned into a headline on the front of the Star Ledger. Maybe you saw that. And so there you go. And maybe you saw the CNN documentary on the barriers to medicinal marijuana in various places. Apparently, CNN chief medical correspondent Sanjay Gupta reversed his position. He used to be against medical marijuana, and now he's for it. And he has concluded that there's suppression of research and that there shouldn't be as many barriers as there are in some of the states. They use Colorado as an example where you have to get three doctors to agree that you need a prescription before you can actually get the prescription, and that's considered a very high bar. So, all right, calls are coming in. Our lines are full with your stories of how you have used marijuana for medical purposes. 212-433-WNYC. And we'll start with Charlotte in, is it Newbridge?
Yeah.
Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, how are you? I'm 25 years old, and I have IBS. And it controls a lot of my life. It affects a lot of what I do. I always have to worry if I'm going to have an attack. And I figured out through recreational use that marijuana stops an IBS attack dead in its tracks. And it's life-changing, actually. I don't have to worry whether I'm not going to find a bathroom or whether I'm going to be in pain.
IBS is irritable bowel syndrome, right?
Yeah.
And why do you think the marijuana works? Do you have any idea what the mechanism is?
I actually don't know. A friend of mine, we're out one night, and we were sitting in the car. I was having an attack, and we decided just to, you know, smoke a little before we went in, and it was gone. And after that, I experimented with it a little bit. I tried it, and every time, it never fails, and it's life-changing.
And so do you get it by prescription now, or do you just get it the way you always got it?
No, I unfortunately get it the way I always got it because, to my knowledge, it's not available for that. So.
Right, because there are only certain illnesses that it's sanctioned for in New Jersey, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I didn't know that you could get it any other way. But I don't, you know, I don't have any other illness besides that, so I wouldn't really know.
Charlotte, thank you for calling in. I appreciate your story. Joanne on Long Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joanne.
Good morning. I'm a, you know, avid listener, and I just really, you know, on behalf of my son, who has Tourette's, and he's, you know, it could be almost debilitating. He's had it since he was a young child, and he's been on all kinds of psychosomatic drugs, and like, you know, he just felt that when he tried marijuana in high school, this was the drug that worked. And so, you know, he graduated Penn State. He's now going to school for physical therapy. He gets drug tested, and he deals with that drug test the way he knows how and cleans himself out. But you know, he really will have all these side effects and symptoms of the Tourette's if he doesn't calm down and use what the benefits of marijuana can give him.
So you think the marijuana kind of mellows him out in a way that he's not as twitchy, if that's the right word,
absolutely,
from the Tourette's?
That's what it will take off. It'll take off the twitch. He's actually very quick-witted and, you know, it's just, you know, if you don't overdo anything. So he doesn't try to overdo it, but it just keeps him level. And I'm so glad you gave me the platform to say this on his behalf because he really feels at a loss, and he's feeling like when he gets his physical therapy degree, he's going to have to move to Colorado.
Where you can get it legally.
Yeah, and with, you know, it's going to impact me because he's going to be away from me. And if we could only legalize it, a lot of people use it to de-stress, and I don't think it's so terrible.
Joanne, thank you very much. Alex in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Brian. How are you? I am not sick, but a lifelong friend of mine has Crohn's disease. And he's been, I don't know if he still does, but he used marijuana to create an appetite and take the edge off the pain on top of taking treatments like Remicade and doing all types of experimental stuff since he's had it so bad. But it's helped him deal with that and actually kind of kept him alive because if he doesn't eat, it just destroys his body. And he's like 6 foot. One, and he can get down to 130, 140 pounds if he's not eating.
So it gives him appetite. It gives him the munchies, and that's literally the medical effect, right?
Exactly, yeah, and it definitely takes the edge off the pain. It's something that, you know, he deals with regularly. It'll curl him over, and he'll just be unable to function if he, with some of the pain, depending on how bad the Crohn's flares up or where his SUD rate's sitting at.
I know it's sometimes used with cancer patients as well who are on chemo to give them a little more of an appetite back to be able to eat enough food to stay nourished. So I guess that's one of the uses that crosses different illnesses. Alex, thank you very much. Ed in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ed.
Hi. I'm calling to, I guess, discuss two things. I've been prescribed Marinol by a psychopharmacologist on the Upper West Side in Manhattan, and it seems to work very well with my Cymbalta and my depression. And I guess the second thing that I wanted to ask or mention was, in a sense, that is true medical marijuana, and it is actually available now. However, doctors are reluctant to actually prescribe Marinol.
Discuss Marinol. Is it THC? Does it get you high? How do you take it?
You take it orally. It's, I guess, suspended. It's an oil. It's in these round pills. It takes about an hour and a half to actually affect a person.
Ed, thank you very much, and good luck with all that. Ed, actually, let me ask you one thing. You say you're getting a prescription, but Marinol, is it legal in New York State?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. So that to that degree.
Doctors can actually be prescribing medical marijuana now.
Because we don't have what they call medical marijuana in New York State. We don't have the kinds of dispensaries that New Jersey is setting up and California has and things like that. So do you take it out of state, or is Marinol the exception? That's something you can get in New York. I don't know.
Marinol is a pharmaceutical. It's called dronabinol. It's THC. It doesn't have the cannabinoids or the CBD in it.
Uh-huh.
It's straight THC. It was developed in Israel. And you can get it at any pharmacy.
All right. Ed, thank you very much. And Kevin in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, hi. I have what they call a syrinx in my spine. So I have a neurological condition, and it causes a lot of neuropathic pain. So I have like pins and needles type of feeling. And if you smoke a little bit of marijuana, it calms the nerves and it makes it, you know, a lot easier to deal with. And it would really be helpful if they had medicinal stores here, because they can be very helpful with what strain, you know, actually affects you better, because, you know, different types of marijuana do different things. And, you know, you can't actually discuss that with, you know, if you're getting it just however you get it.
Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. And we'll do one more here, and then we're going to have a people's debate about recreational marijuana legalization for New York City, as proposed by mayoral hopeful John Liu. Lori in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lori.
Hi there. So I underwent stage 3 breast cancer 2011-2012. And then when I went through my 4.5 months of chemo, you know, the doctors prescribed to you codeine and things for the pain and things for the nausea. But the only thing that I found that assisted and helped you manage through the chemo was marijuana, and it would do it instantly. You would have a hit, you would just sit there, you would let it take its effect, and you were able to manage and function through chemo. I had, at the time, my twins were 3 years old, and I was working full-time. So to be able to get up and move around and just do simple things around the house, the only thing that allowed you to do that was marijuana.
So your message to Governor Cuomo would be, take this seriously for New York State, because he has so far dismissed even the medical marijuana for New York.
Absolutely. And I've actually helped several other friends who have gone through the similar treatment. One, an elderly woman who was in her 60s, who, you know, I actually had to teach her how to do it. And then she called me up after her first chemo treatment and was like, if I had not had that, I would have been laid in bed, would not have eaten, you know, and become septic, which is the reason why most chemo patients end up in the hospital, is because they become septic and don't intake the pain meds that make you constipated and you can't use the bathroom. So if you are on marijuana, you can actually eat and function and use the bathroom and clean it out of your system and stay healthy as much as you can through the treatment.
Did you get high from this, and was that an impediment, like you were high more of the time you wanted than you wanted to be because you needed to be able to eat?
No, I would have to say that. I mean, it did not require much to ease the achiness, and there wasn't much pain for me. I mean, it's different for other people,
right.
and the effects of the chemo is different for other people. But it was just one hit, and it wasn't as if you were, you know, completely high off, you know, not being able to function. But the alternative to dealing with the pain is, for me, or in the achiness, was much worse.
Thank you for your call. I really appreciate you sharing your story. And I said Lori was going to be the last caller, but I cannot deny an injured Iraq veteran who just called in. So we're going to put Christopher on Long Island on the air. Christopher, thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for giving us the platform to actually say something, because it really is a serious subject, but I don't think it's taken seriously by a lot of officials.
So talk about your own situation.
My situation, I was injured in 2008. I lost both of my legs above the knee in Iraq, and I came back, and I was, since then, I've been on over 12 different antidepressants. I was on Xanax, and I take the maximum dosage of Lyrica for, another gentleman was talking about it before, like the pins and needles from the nerve damage. That is, it gets to an excruciating point.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the side effects, I mean, some of the side effects of those are actual death. And I was getting medication from a doctor from a private practice, and he was arrested and thrown in jail for whatever he was doing. But I smoked marijuana with a friend, and smoking maybe 3 or 4 times a month, I was able to get off of Xanax, antidepressants, an appetite inhibitor, and I was able to decrease the Lyrica that I was on. But I have to go to the VA now for my medication, and mm-hmm. they drug test every 30 days.
When so you say they drug test, you mean the VA test you for illegal drugs, and you
yes.
get in trouble in some way if you test positive?
Yeah. You not only get in trouble, but you'll not be given any other medications. So to get them back on the medications that I need, I have to not take not use medicinal marijuana. And then now I have to take about 4 other medications, including Xanax, Lyrica, and I forgot what antidepressant that I was on.
I didn't realize that the VA itself holds people to that standard.
Oh, yeah. It's if they give you any medication, they want to make sure that they're not accountable if you are using abusive drugs.
How long do you have to abstain in order to test clean?
They say anywhere from 10 to 30 days, but the risk of actually getting caught is substantial. So it's not like, I mean, you can't really always control when you need it medicinally.
Yeah.
Because you can't control when you have flare-ups or when you have, I have a feeling where there's powdered glass being rubbed into my skin because all the nerves are going crazy, and I can't not use something when that happens, and it may be a day before a drug test.
Well, you're a great argument for changing the law, or at least the VA policy. And Christopher, again, thank you for your sacrifice for our country.
Thank you for taking my call. And I'm a long-time listener. Thank you.
I appreciate it a lot. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So that's medical marijuana, and we'll see what Governor Christie does today about that law regarding kids, which, of course, we didn't get into with any of our callers. As it turned out, none of them had used medicinal marijuana for their children, and that's the issue on the table in New Jersey right now. That decision is expected today, sign or veto the bill passed by the legislature. But then there is New York City Comptroller John Liu's proposal to legalize medical and recreational marijuana possession in New York City. Up to an ounce could be owned by adults. Among the benefits, says Liu, hundreds of millions in tax revenue for the city if it was sold legally and had a 20% sales tax that he's proposing on the drug. Here's about a minute of John Liu making his case.
Look, this is New York City, and we're a very dynamic city. The bottom line is that 900,000 New Yorkers are using marijuana on a regular basis. Let's do the right thing. End this silly prohibition. It didn't work for alcohol. It does not work for marijuana. Let's regulate it and tax it, generate revenues with the understanding, and I think this is a key fact. This is a key fact that everybody in the public needs to realize. The medical experts, the doctors, have a consensus that marijuana is less addictive than alcohol and tobacco. So if that's the case, why are we treating it as something worse than alcohol?
Comptroller and mayoral candidate John Liu unveiling his proposal earlier in the week. So let's have a people's debate. Listeners, are you for this or against this for New York City? Legal weed for the 5 boroughs? What do you think? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And we'll take your calls right after this.